Amen. I'd just like to say what an honor it is to be able to preach tonight, and it's been my privilege to have a little bit of association with Dr. Carter over these years, and I love him and thank the Lord for him, and he's one of my heroes. Amen. In the faith, and he makes me want to stand and finish. Amen. I appreciate him. Appreciate the church. I won't take very long. I know you've heard preachers say that before. I told somebody, so I'm going to try to be brief. I've been trying for 40 years, and it's never worked. But I'll try it one more time for your sake. So I want to read Psalm 121, if you turn over there. I've been studying a little bit in these songs of degrees and preaching some out of them. And I'll leave off... background on these. We'll just deal with these verses here for a little while. The 121st Psalm. The Bible said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I want to talk to you a little bit about the defense, our defense in the Christian life. I've taken these psalms, and Psalm 120 has to do with distress. If we go on, Psalm 122 with delight. I won't go through all of them. But in Psalm 121, the theme, I think, is the defense of God's people. The Bible will tell us about being kept and about being preserved. I like the idea of being kept, don't you? I keep things that are precious to me, and I believe the Lord keeps us because we're precious to Him. We are kept by the power of God. I'm not keeping myself, He's keeping me. One songwriter put it this way, I'm not holding on to Jesus, He's holding on to me. And then I like that word preserve. Three times there'll be some form of the word kept or keeping, and three times the word preserved, and I like that word. They all really have the same meaning, but I like that. I like the thought of being preserved because I like preserves. My pastor's from Mississippi. He loves to talk about being from the red clay hills of Choctaw County, Mississippi. And down there, they have a thing called biscuit and chocolate. And my preacher's wife makes cathead biscuits, big old biscuits. They're so big, I can eat, if I'm hungry, I can eat a biscuit and a half. I have an evangelist friend who ate five of them in one sitting. He's in heaven now. But they'll make homemade chocolate syrup and put it over those biscuits, and that's all right. Anybody ever had chocolate and biscuit before? That's all right. But what I like is those big old cat head biscuits and some butter that has seen a cow. You know what I'm talking about? Not that stuff they grew out in the field. But some butter that has seen a cow, and then put that strawberry preserves over that. I'm telling you, you talk about good. That's the way the Christian life is. You know, a lot of God's people, it seemed like they're more pickled. Amen. Than they are preserved. Amen. There ought to be a sweetness about us. But here the psalmist tells us that the Lord is going to take care of us. You found that to be true, haven't you? You saw it just now in the video, that the Lord takes care of His people. I think sometime in difficult times we forget that, but God takes care of His people. Now, there are three things I'm going to mention to you, and I'll get through them here in a hurry. First of all, He talks to us about the direction of our defense. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He said, there's only one direction from which we can find defense, and that's from the Lord. Somebody said, I was reading, you know, these commentators, they get all flustered about things, and if something doesn't exactly line up the way they think it ought to, they want to correct the Bible. And so one of them was talking about this. He said, well, the psalmist, what he's saying is he looked to the hills first and made a mistake and then went to the Lord. But that's not what the verse said. He said, lift up mine eyes unto the hills. This is the pilgrim approaching Jerusalem. He sees those hills. He knows the presence of the Lord, and he's looking for the Lord to come to his defense. You and I might look at it this way. You've seen that movie where someone was out fighting the enemy, and here come the cavalry up down over the hill coming to the rescue. That's what God does with his children. There's no sense in looking for help from anywhere else except from the Lord. Help only comes from God. So there is the direction of our defense. And then we'll come back to the middle, but down in verses 7 and 8, there is the duration of our defense. In verse 7 and 8, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Sounds like a long preservation to me. Sound like going to take care of us from start to finish. Now, this going out and coming in, that's shepherd language. You'll find it throughout the Bible. Solomon talked about it. When he was going to shepherd God's people, he said, I'm but a child. I don't know not how to go out and come in before this great congregation. He's talking about from beginning to ending, God will take care of him. I was in Michigan. I live in Indiana now, but I was in Michigan preaching on a Sunday morning, and I was not scheduled to preach on Sunday evening, and it was too far to get home, so I just stopped in at a church. I didn't want to lay out of church on Sunday night, and I don't go to church just to preach. Amen. Amen. And so I stopped in the church, and Brother Bart Spencer met me at the door, and he said, Brother McBride, good to see you. And I think he thought that maybe I was hoping to get to preach. And he said, Brother McBride, I'm glad you're here. He said, we already have two preachers on the schedule tonight. I said, well, that's fine, brother. I just wanted to come to church. So we came in, we sat down. Here's what they had. They had a young missionary. It was his first service on deputation. The first time he's going to go before a congregation and present the work, and he did a wonderful job, preached a short sermon, talked about his burden, and just did a wonderful job. Then they had an elderly man, an older man who was retiring from the ministry, not from the Lord, but from the pastorate, and they had him preach a little while. And I'm sitting back there, and I'm thinking about this song. The Lord will keep you when you're just getting started, and he'll keep you when you're on your way out. He'll keep you at the beginning. He'll keep you at the end. He won't drop you along the way somewhere and say, well, I didn't know it was going to be like this. I'm glad he'll keep us at our going in and our coming out. It is the duration of our defense. But then in the middle of this passage, he gives us some details about our defense. And what he's going to do in the middle of this passage is he's going to talk about some danger that we face on our pilgrim journey. And there are at least three of them that he's going to comfort our hearts about. The first one is what I'm going to call tonight danger from beneath. Look what he said in verse number 3. This little phrase at the beginning of this verse. He, talking about the Lord, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Now he's talking about as we're traveling along on our course, following the Lord and serving the Lord, our pilgrimage, if you will. We're going to have some dangerous things that are going to be coming up from beneath us where our feet are. What kind of dangers are there? Well, there's the danger of stumbling. The danger of falling down, stumbling. He said, he'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. I think about your foot being moved. You put it down and maybe the ground is not exactly solid, and all of a sudden your foot slips and you stumble and you fall down. He said, I'm going to keep you from that. I'll keep you from that. I'll keep you from stumbling. Look at me, Christian. You don't have to stumble on the way. Somebody said, well, I couldn't help it. No, you don't have to stumble on the way. You have a keeper. He'll help you to keep you from stumbling. There's also, I think, the danger of slipping. That would be going backward. That's another thing would happen to our feet. You're trying to get up the hill, and maybe you hit a patch there that's just a little bit slippery, and you end up going backward instead of forward. And sometimes I see God's people going backward instead of forward. But I'm going to tell you, we have a rock we can put our feet on and stand on that won't move underneath us. And then there is the danger of straying. Because sometime when you're on the path, and the path is a little bit rough and a little bit difficult, it might look like there's another path that will be easier. You might get on that path and there's a slippery place and a loose place, and you say, you know, if I just took a different path, I wouldn't have to deal with these dangers. And that's what the devil trying to tell you. He'll say, now don't take that straight path. Don't take that path where there's a lot of opposition. Don't take that path where there's going to be trouble. Just come over and walk this way and you won't have to have any trouble. Just compromise your convictions. Just let a little thing slide. Just let it go and go this way. It'll be an easier path. But I'm going to tell you, friend, you don't have to take that path. You don't have to stray off to the left. You don't have to stray off to the right. Just stay on the straight path. The Lord will help you. There's dangers from beneath. There are also in this passage dangers from without. Watch what else he said. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Then he said this, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, why does he tell us that he won't slumber or sleep? Because we have a tendency to slumber and sleep when we should be watching. So the Lord tells us, think about this, these pilgrims headed for Jerusalem, and along the way they have to bed down, they have to make camp, and they're making camp in a place perhaps they're not familiar with, and around them are dangers, there are enemies lurking around. What the Lord is saying is, I'll keep a watch for you. I'll keep on guard for you. You know what? We're going to get to heaven. We're going to find out dangers that were around us that we didn't even know were there, that God headed them off and God kept them from getting at us. I thought about from without, there are stealthy attacks, those that would creep up little by little. They don't just not an all-out attack, but just little by little. And then there are sudden attacks when the devil just suddenly throws everything he has at you. And sometimes you feel like that, just like hell has been let loose on us, those sudden attacks. And then there are what I will call sabotage attacks, those who would sneak in, and they're ungodly men who've crept in unaware. But I want to tell you, you and I can be mindful and can be comforted in the fact that God never goes to sleep. He never slumbers. He never stops watching. I read a little story about a woman in the Orient, and she had come before the Sultan, and she was making a complaint, and she was begging him for help. He said, what happened? She said, I fell asleep, and while I was sleeping, the enemy came in, and they stole everything I had. And he looked at her, and he said, well, why did you fall asleep? And she said, because I thought you were awake. I thought you would watch. I'm glad the Lord is always watching. I'm glad he keeps an eye on us. So there are dangers from beneath and dangers from without. And then there are dangers from above. Watch what he says in verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Here are dangers from above. Dangers from the sun and from the moon. Danger being smitten. I think there is a danger against my strength. A danger to the strength, because he mentions the right hand. He said, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And usually in the Bible, the right hand is the hand of strength. And the enemy, the devil, would like to come at me, the prince of the power of the air. And he'd like to mess up my strength and take away my strength to serve the Lord. But I'm glad God said he'd be a shade over my right hand. Not only a danger to my strength, but there's a danger to my sight. Because when he talks about the sun shining, I think about folks who get out in the sun and lose their vision. The sun is hot, beats down on them, and there's such a thing as sun blindness. And sometimes the enemy will throw so many things at us, and there'll be such a persecution and such trouble that it might temporarily blind us to the truth. And we go to kind of wandering around trying to find the truth of things and trying to see straight. But God said, I'll preserve thee from that. He'll help us. Then he said this, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. There is a danger to my senses. You know, we have the word lunar, and it's where we get our word lunacy. And not only does the sun cause people sometimes to lose their mind, but sometimes the moon. I wouldn't fuss with you about this or argue with you about it, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of time when there's a full moon out, there's a bunch of craziness goes on. And the old timers believe that, and I think there are documented experiences of that. And you know what the devil would like to do? He'd like to torment my mind. Does he ever torment your mind? Does he ever try and get you to think things that aren't right? Get you to consider things, and things go through your mind. A lot of time when I have my trouble, it's in the evening when I lie down on the bed and I can't go to sleep and my mind gets to running miles an hour, you know, and it's just like the devil saying, do this, do that, or he's saying, this ain't true, or you've been a fool to believe that. But I remember what the preacher said this morning. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. So we have our keeper. He's going to keep us through the trial and the troubles. But here's my question, and I'll be finished. So I'm going to say, well, preacher, God said he'd do all of that, but didn't seem like he did that for me. God said he wouldn't let my foot slip, but it seemed like my foot slipping. The Lord said through the psalmist that he would cover me and he would be my shade and all of those things, but it doesn't seem like it's happening in my life. Well, I want you to go back to the first two words of this psalm. Do you notice this psalm does not begin with God will? It begins with I will. The reason that sometimes our foot is moved, and the reason that sometimes it seems like we're not kept, and the reason that sometimes the sun smites us is because we're not looking where we ought to look. We don't have our eyes fixed upon him. We're not looking to him for our help. We're looking to self or somewhere else. Some years ago, in fact, it's been many years ago, right after the end of the Second World War, he was a young preacher then by the name of Ralph Sexton, Dr. Ralph Sexton. Back then, he was a young preacher, just surrendered to preach, and him and another fellow decided they were going to take a trip to the Holy Land. And there were no tours at that particular time, and they were going to go and visit the Holy Land. And so him and this young preacher and his friend, they booked him a passage on a ship to go across the ocean. And when they got over to Europe, they went around Europe, toured Europe on a train, and they ended up in Greece, and they got on a trans steamer in the Mediterranean, and they were going to cross that Mediterranean. They were going to go to Israel and see the Holy Land. So this young preacher and his friend are down in their cabin, and that steamer's going across, and it was a foggy day. It was like soup out there. You couldn't see a thing. And they had noticed when they got on the ship, that trans steamer, they'd noticed that there were some Jews, quite a few, a group of Jews that had got on that ship with them. And apparently those Jews were coming to Israel after the Second World War. They'd been born and raised in Europe. It was the first time that they were ever going to see their homeland. So he's down in the cabin in the middle of that soupy day, that foggy day, and he said, I heard a commotion up on the top of the ship, up on the deck. I heard a commotion. Now, Dr. Sexton was of Scottish descent. He said, I went up on the deck, and he said, those Jews were on the deck, and he said, they were singing, and they were praying, and they were praising God, and he said this, they were doing the Highland Shuffle. I don't know what the Highland Shuffle is. I'm not Scottish, but I'm assuming it's some sort of dance they were doing on there. And he said they were dancing and they were shouting and they were praising God. And he said, when one of them calmed down near me, I said to him, what's going on? What's the excitement about? And he looked at him and he said, look, look. So he said, I looked. I saw fog. He said, I looked the other way. I saw fog. He said, I looked in every direction. All I see is fog, thick as soup. He said, I said to that man, I don't see anything. I just see fog. And the man looked at him and said, look higher. Look higher. He said, I lifted up my eyes, and up above the fog, they had seen the top of Mount Carmel. It was the first view they'd had of their homeland, and they were beside themselves. And I'd like to say to you, friend, when you feel like you're slipping, when you feel like the sun is beating down on you, when you feel like you're about to come to an end, I would say to you, look higher, look higher. The Lord will help you. The Lord will take care of you. Let's keep our eyes fixed upon him. If we'll keep our eyes fixed upon him, he'll be our defense, our keeper, and our preserver. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. And we thank you for keeping us. Lord, we're not worth keeping, but you keep us anyway. And I thank you we can feast our eyes upon you and fix our eyes and set our eyes upon you. And you'll be the help that we need. We've seen it, Lord. We've read it in the Bible. But now we've seen it in the life of one of our brethren, how you've kept him. And we thank you for it. And we pray you'd help us keep our eyes fixed upon thee. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight who does not have assurance, who feels like they don't know what to do next, maybe they're lost. Maybe they're a Christian and they're under the load. They might remember what the Hebrew writer said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Help us keep our eyes fixed on thee tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Tremendous message for us. Tonight, you feel like your foot slipped. You've taken the wrong path, turned the wrong way. The devil's got you confused and misled you. Oh, what a powerful message from the psalmist. Oh, he that keeps Israel, keeps you, keeps his people, will not sleep nor slumber. He's watching. He's keeping. He's preserving. Sometime the problem is those first two words of the psalm, I will do my stuff, I'll do my way, I'll do what I want to do. Then we want to blame God when we get off the path and when we slip and when we fall. It's not his fault. We made a willful choice. So many of us tonight, and I certainly could, give testimony that God is the keeper, the preserver. He's not going to let us fall. I've let him down, but he's never let me down. If you're here tonight, you're not saved, you don't hardly know what we Christians are excited and joyful about, like those Jews dancing around. They saw something that somebody else didn't see. As believers, we've seen him that is invisible. We felt his spirit and felt his power. Yes, we get excited because it's real. Real to us. Be real to you if you knew the Lord Jesus Christ like we know him. Could be there was a time you asked him to be your Savior and you learned the songs and you learned some verses and you learned the fellowship of God's people, but one thing after another and your will got in it and you slipped away. I'll not pretend that it's always easy to come back, but I will tell you, you can come back. You can come back. He's always with his arms outstretched, begging you to come back. Your will. What will you will? Scripture says, whosoever will may come. Your will's involved. The choice is involved. I believe God spoke to us through that message tonight. I said the film you just saw, the pictures, the song that Brother McBride did following that, and then the message certainly backs up the testimony that we saw in pictures tonight. Really good, really good. Thank you, Brother McBride. Thank you for being with us and helping us to have another good day today. I'm going to ask Brother Parsons to come and tell us what to do here.